Well, good morning, Center Point Church. My name is Chris Lessig. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here at Center Point, and I would also like to extend a warm welcome to those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time. And just to orient you to what we've been doing this summer, we've been covering various passages in Job, Psalms, and Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes as we continue on our sermon series, Wisdom for Today. So thank you all for being here. Let me pray one more time before we begin. Let's pray. Father, as we sung this morning and prayed, you are indeed good, and your grace, who can fathom? But yet it is displayed in countless ways. And Father, as we look at your word today, I pray that your spirit would just speak through me. And as we see what you say in your word, to remember from whom all good things come. Indeed, it is you. And Lord, as we look at this, Lord, transform us. Let us rejoice in your goodness and being able to be adopted as your children. Indeed, we are your family, and we praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we begin this morning, I want to start off with a very short video. And real short, in this video, we could call it a Thanksgiving prayer, or better yet, the un-Thanksgiving prayer. Let's watch. My goodness. I mean, the audacity, right? I mean, we wouldn't dare be so bold to talk like that, would we? Man. I mean, he's totally beyond the scope of you reap what you sow, right? I mean, he wants to take all the credit, right? I mean, who does he think he is? Hogging it all. Man. I mean, sure, he did do those things, right? They plowed the fields, they planted, and they had to harvest and to get the food on the table. Sure, but I mean, to that level, my goodness, totally crossed the line. I mean, let's be honest, there are some times when it's more appropriate, right, to get a little bit of credit, right? I mean, he wants it all, but there are some times when we can say, you know, we reap what we sow. We pat ourselves on the back, right? I mean, there are some times, right? Consider a couple of examples. Some of you stay-at-home moms, you and your family have made some decisions to, excuse me, to scale back and to have only one parent work and the other parent stays home, and you make sacrifices along the way. And as a result, as your kids have gotten older, you've been able to keep healthy and strong relationships where so many others just work and pursue the American dream and don't have a good relationship. And good on you for that, right? You reap what you've sown, right? Or consider others who may have been, you were diligent in high school. And so instead of running around and playing so many video games and hanging out so much, you spent more time in your studies. And as a result, you got a good GPA and graduated. And then you went to college and you did the same thing there. And you got a good job that pays well, while so many others didn't do that. And they wasted their time. They didn't take their studies seriously. And now they're struggling to find a good paying job to make ends meet. You reap what you've sown, right? You've earned that. Or maybe you've done that, but now you're retired. And all those times you had that good paying job, you didn't, you know, frivolously spend money on things trying to pursue the American dream. You were wise and you invested maybe in a 401k or some other kind of stocks. And now you're retired and don't have to work. And money is not a concern, whereas so many others who were like me when I was young were up to their eyeballs in debt. You've done that. Good on you, right? Thumbs up. Or those of you who may be married and you're celebrating 10, 20, 30, maybe 40 years of marriage, and the marriage is going strong. That doesn't just happen overnight. You took investment. It took work. Maybe you went to some seminars along the way and you take vacations. You are very intentional to spend time together. And as a result, your marriage is flourishing, whereas so many others are falling by the wayside. Or kids, maybe you did your chores. you have siblings, and you did your chores, and you got your allowance, and you were able to go buy that toy, but your sibling, your brother or sister, they didn't do theirs. And so they didn't get their allowance and couldn't buy the toy. Well, good on you. You get credit for that, right? I mean, think of us. All of us this morning, we've probably had a good breakfast, and we've done well. We've worked for the cars that we have in the parking lot. We've been blessed, right? We've been diligent, and we've reaped some of those perks, right? Don't we get some credit for that? I mean, not like the guy in the video, but we get some credit, right? No. This morning, we're going to see that a wise person gives God full credit for every good thing in his or her life. The credit's not shared. It's not half and half. It's not 90% God and 10% man. The wise person takes zero credit for anything good in his or her life. A wise person gives God full credit, 100% for everything good in his or her life. Our text this morning is going to be Psalm 127. If you want to turn there with me, I invite you to turn to Psalm 127. If you aren't there already, Psalm 127, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. And before I read, I want you, most of you, if you have your Bible at the very beginning, it says it's a song of ascents of Solomon. And this is a praise song that the Israelites would sing when they're on the way to Jerusalem up to the temple for one of their feasts. And so when I read these verses, I want you to think about this is a worship song. They're worshiping just like we got done singing songs a few minutes ago. This is a praise song by those who know from whom all their blessings come. So Psalm 127, let me read. Starting at verse 1. Now remember, think about this as a song that's being sung. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Now, again, this is a song that the Israelites sang. It reminded them of who these things come from. And Solomon, in this passage, he's going to look at three broad areas that encompass all of our lives, pretty much. Three broad areas. And for those of you who like to take notes, I'm going to just give you a statement right up front that we're going to hang everything else that we say on. And that statement is this: God gets credit for everything good in a person's life. God gets credit for everything good in a person's life. Look at the first part of verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And so the very first word is unless. And so we know it's a conditional word, and we use that, right? We know these conditional words. So parents, if you're telling your children, you can't have dessert unless you clean your room first, right? You got to do something in order to have something else. So that's the condition. Or those of us, we have, you know, maybe you have the internet, or you have UVerse or some kind of cable TV. The unwritten rule is, unless you pay your bill, you don't get to enjoy the perks, right? You guys understand that conditional. So it is here that the Jews are singing this song. And the first thing they say is, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. The first arena refers to the household. The blessing of having a household or a family is solely dependent on the Lord. Efforts to accomplish this apart from God are in vain. Useless. And remember, Israel in the Old Testament, they were a nation blessed by God, and they were surrounded by unbelieving nations. And in Deuteronomy, the law, if I were to boil down everything that is said, basically said, if you obey me, I'm going to bless you with kids and crops, right? If I were to sum it all up, kids and crops. In Deuteronomy 7, it says, if you would pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant with you as he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb And it goes on from there to talk about crops and herds and things like that. So Solomon and these faithful Israelites are giving all credit to God for the truth as they experience God's provision of a family. Why? Because unless the Lord does it, the builders labor in vain. And that's why they sing this song. Hear it with me. I'm not a singer. I don't want to butcher this, but listen, hear this with me. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. You with me? You with me? I mean, it's a song. They're singing praises to God because they realize it comes from Him. But we need some evidence of that. So drop down with me to verse 3. 3 through 5, we're going to see some evidence. This is still under the broad category of family. Verse 3 says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. If people had children, it's God that gives them. They're a heritage or a reward from Him, right? We just got them praying that. Josh was praying that this morning about thanking God for the pregnancies that we have in our midst. And going all the way back to Genesis, you may recall with Jacob when he had to marry Rachel and Leah, right? Leah was having children, but Rachel wasn't. And Rachel got upset so much so that she cried out, give me children or I will die. And Jacob's like, am I in the place of God? Who's kept you from having children? I mean, it's not my fault. God's the one. God's the one who does it. He controls all that. I mean, sure, a man and a woman, they have a responsibility to play, but unless God does it, it's not going to happen, right? A little later in Genesis 33, when Jacob meets up with Esau, and Esau asks about all these children with Jacob, and he says, who are all these children? And Jacob says, they are the children that God has graciously given your servant. So Solomon here, he gives evidence in verse 3 that children are indeed a gift and reward from the Lord, and indeed to have a household or a home in that particular culture was a blessing. The faithful Israelites, they knew this, and they worshiped God accordingly. But then he goes a little bit deeper. So again, just to orient you, so we're talking about the family. And then he gives evidence that it's all God by the blessing of children. And then he's going to look at an expected outcome that's very prevalent in that culture if you had children, in particular, sons. Look down at verse 4. It says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And so look at the comparisons here. The sons are pictured as arrows, and the quiver is, in other words, it's like the household. And what's significant about a son, a father having sons while he's still young? Well, the reason is by the time the father got old, the sons would be old enough to take care and defend the family and protect the father's name. If the father was wrongly accused in the court, which was usually held in the city gates, they would be sent forth like arrows to protect the honor and the security of the family. Having the presence of godly children in the household made it difficult for people to take advantage of them in that day, as easy as it would be for someone who was elderly without children or a widow or an orphan. So how does that work today? I mean, we have many godly people who don't have children, right? Well, today we are, as was prayed this morning, we are a family, right? And in many ways, we have served each other, and it's everywhere. A lot of times, maybe you don't know, but there are ways that people who don't have children, maybe older folks in our congregation, they serve and fill that role in some way, shape, or form. Or several of you, maybe you don't have kids of your own, but you have played a father or a mother type figure. When we do baby dedications, there is a commission by the church to come alongside families to help and raise them, right? Amen. So that's the first arena that we looked at, the family or the household where God gets all the credit for everything good. We looked at the family and we zoomed in to the example and looked at a logical outcome. But it's not only that arena that God blesses. The other arena is also, we see in the second half of verse 1, it says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. All through the Old Testament, we see nations, powerful nations falling and other nations rising. Psalm 22 says God rules over the nations. In Job, he says he makes nations great and he destroys them. It all depends on God. Ancient cities had huge walls built around them, and along the walls they had these watchtowers where they would have guards standing watch at all hours of the day and night to keep security. And they would keep the bad people out, and they would warn the inhabitants of the city of an approaching attack. And despite all that, God says, unless the Lord watches over it, all of that is in vain. Today we have security guards, we have watchdogs, sophisticated electronic devices, all designed to provide the same level of security that they desired. And there is wisdom in that. But the truth still stands, unless the Lord watches over the city, it's all in vain. Now, most of us here, we live in either Mesquite, Forney, Sunnyvale, Dallas, Garland, different areas like that. And yesterday morning, I left before the sun came up, and I was driving down my street, and this sermon was fresh in my mind. And so I'm looking at our street, and it's pretty dark. I mean, a lot of you probably leave before the sun comes up. And so there's a few street lights on and also lights on porches. And I was thinking about, you know what? If I really wanted to get into somebody's house, I mean, the only thing separating me from that is some little deadbolt in a wood frame. That's it. One swift kick and that door is down, right? And yet day after day after day, I don't have any problems. Right? No one's breaking into my house. I'm pretty much, for the most part, I've been safe for all the years I've lived where I live. God's done that. Amen. God's done that. Our cities aren't full of anarchy threatening the safety of our households. We have speed limits on the highway. We have stop signs. We don't have wild animals running the street threatening to do us harm. We have one of the best justice systems in the world. We live indeed in an amazing country despite all of its flaws. And they're related, right? I mean, if you don't have a safe city, how are you going to build a household, right? I mean, if anarchy is reigning in the streets, how is your household going to be secure? It won't be. So you see they go together, and this is Solomon's way. The Israelites are saying, it's all you, God. It's all you. So that's the second arena, the city. We've looked at the household. We've looked at the safety of the city. But there's one more area we haven't looked at yet that pretty much takes up a big portion of our lives, and that's the area of work. Look at verse 2. It says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Again, remember, this is a declaration of truth. It's a song being sung. This is the third time we've seen the word vain in these first two verses. They're not condemning each other. They're just recalling to mind the truth of all these things we're looking at. It's God's blessing. It's God's doing. All else is vanity. And they worship God for that. Verse 2 communicates it's vain or useless to multiply our efforts by getting up early and staying up late, toiling for food to eat. Why? Because that particular labor is anxiety-driven. It's worry-driven. It's vain. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with getting up early and going to work or staying up late to finish a project or to do certain things. That's not what's being condemned here. But when we work, are we anxiously toiling? Are we anxiously working, fretting, worrying all the time about things? Is that why we stay up late? I mean, when you're stressed out, is it easy to sleep? No. It's vanity. So we live in a culture that's becoming more and more frenzied. You know, we have the saying that we're in the so-called rat race, right? And to be really busy, it's almost like a badge of honor. How you doing? Man, I'm busy. Sounds like a badge of honor to be busy. And there's nothing wrong with being diligent and busy. Hear me. That's not what Solomon is critiquing. It's the I'm busy because I'm so stressed out and I'm worried. So I did a little bit of research to get some stats on the American worker. So consider this. Since 2007, the American Psychological Association has conducted its annual stress survey, and it found that money and work are consistently the top two sources of stress in people's lives. While 134 countries have laws setting the maximum length of a work week, the U.S. has none. In the U.S., 85% of men And 66% of women work more than 40 hours per week. What about vacation time? In 2016, 54% of employees ended their work year with unused time off, collectively sacrificing 662 million vacation days. You see, this is not a call to avoid getting up early or staying late for some reason. Rather, it's the affections of the heart. It's the emotions that are being addressed here. Solomon says it's useless to rise early and stay late toiling for food to eat because it's God who gives sleep to those he loves. And so just if you're worried, the opposite of worry is not, I can sleep at night, right? That's not it. The sleep has more than just the physical act of sleep. The sleep here is the absence of worry. It's the absence of fretting or stressing out. It's a peaceful, restful sleep because we know that God is in control of our production of work and takes care of our needs. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells the same thing to his disciples, right? He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. The unbelievers run after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. No, don't do that. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things he'll give you. He's a good Father, amen? He's a good Father. Therefore, we don't have to worry. Solomon realizes that whether it's building a house, guarding a city, or laboring for our providence, our production, it's vain without him. And this in our lives should eliminate any form of pride, especially like we saw in the opening video. So what I want to do now is do a little pride probing. Pride probing. I think last week, Andy took y'all to the doctor to do a heart check. And I want to do some more probing here. What are some areas of pride where we want to take credit for some things? Maybe you've raised your kids well and you have well-behaved kids who are walking with the Lord. Do we excel at some type of sport or some hobby? Have we received any athletic recognition? Are we handy with tools? Do we have a really good job? Do you live in a nice house in a nice neighborhood? Think for a moment. Think about any of these areas where you're liable to take or where I'm liable to take credit for some of the good things, really any of the good things that I have been able to have in my life. Vacations you get to take and post on Facebook and get a gazillion likes. Think about that. You know, we have a preaching team here at Center Point Church, and, you know, during the week as we're getting ready for our sermon, we kind of like, you know, talk to each other about these sermons, and we get beat up all week long because we're wrestling with this, and you guys just get to hear it on Sunday. And so as I'm talking to the guys, we're talking about, hey, you know, what are some areas of pride that you struggle with? And, you know, we were very transparent, and Andy gave me permission to share this, and so I'm not, you know, betraying any confidence. He said, you know, Chris, I struggle with the pride because I look so much better than everybody else. Just kidding. He's just messing around. He had one more, he says, and I'm prideful because my daddy can beat up your daddy. No, but seriously, think about it. Think about all the good things we get to enjoy. And any time we try to take some of the credit, we need to deflect it, say, no, it's because of you, God. You alone are worthy. You are worthy. Every single solitary good thing that we get to enjoy in life is a gift from him. Do we thank him? Millions the world over enjoy God's creation every single day and don't give a rip about who it is that gives it. But we do. So what do we do? Well, my prayer is that, Lord, let us, like your people sang in Psalm 127, remember that we give all credit to God for his good gifts. May we fight against every speck of pride that tries to raise itself up in our hearts as we go about our day-to-day lives. When someone praises you for something, you deflect and, yes, God did that. It's God. Kids, when you get a good report card or ace a test in school, you praise God for that. When you get promoted at work, God gets the credit. You pay your bills in a given month, God gets the credit. You wake up tomorrow morning, God gets the credit and the thanks. When you're tempted to look down on someone because of something, you pray and confess to God that anything good I have is by His grace. 1 Corinthians 4 says, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? In other words, we can't take any credit. Let us be like those in Psalm 115, verse 1, who say, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory because of your faithfulness and love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your reminder that all good things come from you. And Lord, we want to be like the Jews who sang this song to you, praising you that unless you build the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless you watch over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. And Lord, you provide for our needs. And we praise you for that. And Father, I pray that as we leave here, that we would just experience just joy exalting in your goodness that you lavish on us each and every day. And remember that as a family, as your people, we serve each other and we love each other so that everyone, that by many ways, you sustain others and meet the needs of others through your people. And we celebrate that and we praise you for that. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.